25, verses 6 through 9. On this mountain, the Lord of armies will prepare for all peoples a banquet of rich food, a banquet of aged wines, with the best cuts of meat and with the finest wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that covers all peoples, the burial cloth stretched over all nations. He has swallowed up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face. He will take away the shame of his people throughout the earth. For the Lord has spoken. On that day it will be said, "Look, here is our God. We waited for him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation." This is our text. Dear people of God, I am a spoiled man. As you can see, I eat very well. My wife and I have figured out what is good to eat, and more importantly, we've learned how to make it. Last week, I grilled for myself a nice sirloin tip. And it was way too big for the two of us, of course. So what that means for me is that I get to eat it all week long. Every day, I get a piece of perfectly cooked, red, sliced meat, along with sides of rice and squash, and a glass of my favorite moderately priced French wine that perfectly complements the whole thing. It sounds a lot like how Isaiah described heaven. You ever notice that? The Bible so often describes heaven as a feast, as a banquet, and usually a wedding banquet. From what I can gather, it seems that a wedding banquet is the best thing that human beings have come up with. It's the best thing that we do. For in a wedding banquet, you work really hard to prepare for it, and you look forward to it for quite a long time. It's a day then to enjoy. All the problems seem to melt away then in the moment. And at the end, when it's all done and you're exhausted and the cigars are lit, you sit back and you say, "That was a good day." Now, I don't think heaven's going to be a big feast. It might, it's possible. But what I think the Lord is doing with this picture is trying to get across to us the joy, the relaxation, the reached goal, the satisfaction of finally being with the Lord, being done with this rat race, and being in the arms of our dear Savior. You are invited to the great banquet that the Lord has prepared for his beloved people. Now, everyone is invited to join the Lord in heaven. The Lord Jesus shed his holy blood upon the cross of shame to pay for the sins of the whole world. He took the punishment of every single person who has ever lived, so that now there is no reason at all why anyone should have to suffer for sins in hell. It is finished. What the Lord has done is for all people. If anybody can't see it, if anyone refuses to put their faith in him for salvation, well, that's your own fault. If anyone is damned, it's not because the Lord has not gotten the word out. How many churches, how many crosses do you pass on your way to work? Christ is paraded before everyone's eyes. Some people just won't. That's what our gospel reading was about today, found in Matthew chapter 22. The Lord had done everything for his people. He invited them to the great banquet, and those people spit on their king, and they spit on his invitation, and they got what they deserved. But that king in his grace then sent that invitation out to others who had no business being invited to that great feast. And that story is not even a very veiled story. It's pretty clear. Those people who rejected the Lord are the Jews. The Lord Jesus came to them as promised, and they wanted nothing to do with him. And so that invitation has gone out to others, to you, all the way around the world, thousands of years later, you who have no worldly right to claim a piece of his salvation are invited to join Abraham's Christ in paradise. This Christ is available as the Savior for all people. But who will be saved? Only those who, by God's grace and the Spirit's power, humble themselves before him, repent of their sins and selfishness before him, and bow the knee and take time to say, "Lord, Jesus is my Savior." For them, for you, the shroud is lifted, the burial cloth stretched over all nations is taken away and destroyed. That really is a wonderful picture to describe the people of our world, because there seems to be two types of people out there: those in a panic and those who don't care. Those people in a panic around us see nothing but death and destruction around them in the world, and they see no way out. Oh, they try. They invent all kinds of ways to be useful. They invent all kinds of ways to pretend that they're helping the world. But in the end, they have to realize that they have done nothing and that things have only gotten worse. They are in a panic. They are those upon whom the burial cloth is floating down over, and it will soon land on their bodies, and they're powerless to stop it. Those who don't care would be those covered by the shroud. They can't see. They can't see Christ, his importance for salvation, and his importance for living every day in peace and contentment and forgiveness. Those people who don't care have convinced themselves that the only thing that matters is their own enjoyment in the moment. But really, all they have done is join a 3,000-year-old cult that boasts, "Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die." So many in our world, whether they have fallen into the right ditch or the left ditch, miss out on the daily peace that the Lord offers, and then therefore the eternal salvation that he also promises. He has swallowed up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face. He will take away the shame of his people throughout the earth. The forgiveness of sins, eternal life with Christ, and daily joy are not three different things. Rather, they are the same thing. See, it's all about this word shame. Each one of us has enough in his life that would bring us shame if we had to stand before the holy judge naked to be examined on the last day. That's a terrifying thought. But you do not need to be examined in that way, because you're covered in Christ. You are already covered in his holiness and his righteousness. You are already declared to be his own child through Jesus' death and resurrection. The Hebrew word here for shame is rebuke. The Lord is not going to rebuke you for your sins. Jesus already took all of that when he hung upon the terrible cross. There is no more reason to shed any more tears for your sins. They are really gone. They are gone before the Lord eternally, and he's not out to get you in this world because of them. There's no reason for you to hide from the Lord. He knows what you have done. He knows what you are. And he loves you anyway, because he loves you with an undeserved love. He promises that he does not treat us as our sins deserve. Rather, he treats us as his own dear son, Jesus Christ, the Holy One. That changes the way a person lives. That's the peace that the Bible is always talking about. The peace in the Bible is not a worldly peace. It's not a peace where people put down their guns for 12 hours, shake hands, and then come back and kill each other the next day. No, peace, real peace, is peace from God to the sinner, who in Jesus' name, the Father says, he's not going to punish. He's not going to treat us the way we ought to be treated. That's the peace that we live in as we wait for the Lord. On that day it will be said, look, here is our God. We waited for him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. This is the one that drives the heathen nuts. I just heard a scientist say the other day that we live in a death cult. That we are so focused on death that we forget to live. Well, I don't know what weird group he's been studying, but it's certainly not us Lutherans. We live. I think he's just confused because we don't ignore death. We know that it's coming and we're fine with that because death means we get to go to be with our Savior in paradise. But we certainly live. We live every day in the kingdom of God, enjoying God's creation and his blessings. We don't live in fear like he must. We live thanking the Lord for every day and looking forward to the next adventure. That really drives him nuts. For when the Lord Jesus comes, it'll be such a beautiful sight and we don't even know what it will look like. We have described the Lord Jesus riding on the clouds of heaven, everyone of all time being gathered for the great announcement that God has saved his chosen people, and in the beginning of that great banquet. But what it will look like, we have no idea. What the Lord wants us to think of, what he wants us to envision, as stated here in Holy Scripture, is us sitting in the banquet chairs, along with our best loved fellow believers, with no sin, no worry, no trouble, just smiles, relaxed, kicked back in those chairs and saying to one another, he actually came. We are here. We waited for him and he saved us. All the philosophers were wrong. All the haters are gone. Our God rules, and we rule with him. Yeah, I'm a spoiled man. The Lord has taken very good care of me. The only thing missing from my meal that would make it a great banquet are my sons and my daughters-in-law and my granddaughters and, of course, perfection. That is all yet to come. What a wonderful banquet that will be. And you are invited. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.